Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Mike Blewett. We'll be celebrating the wedding of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex today on Fantasy Sports Today. I'm sorry. I tried to hold it as long as I could. I hope everybody's enjoying the royal wedding. I'm Mike Blewett, along with Kevin Walsh. I tried to
that
do
was,
it. I heard you laugh.
That
and
was
I just
awesome.
Broke.
That was really well done.
I tried to stick with it, but thanks for joining us today. I'm Mike Blewett. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We're here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Duke and Duchess, that's a tongue twister, of Sussex. Married earlier today. My wife's obsessed with it. I'm sure some of your wives, husbands, girlfriends, boyfriends are watching it as well. So enjoy it. I know it's a fun day for people. It's a big party over there, but, you know, I'm not that into it. You know, my wife is watching it. I saw what happened. They're married. Congratulations to them. And as a fellow ginger, I got to give it up to Harry. I'm happy for him. Unfortunately, he is in the same boat as I am regarding his hairline. It's getting a little thin up top, and he's a little younger than me. So he started going south a little bit before me. But, you know, nice. Good luck to the couple. Hope they live a long, happy life together. So, in any event, we are on to the world of sports. We got baseball. We're finally playing basketball again. I know they do this every year. It is a little irritating to get that little three-day lull. Like, hey, let's just take a few days off, you know? Totally bastardized the schedule that we've adhered to for the last 6 months and just give you guys a few days of rest. So that happened. We'll kick that back off and tip that back off again today. And then we'll talk a little bit of football, too. So we're going to go around the horn. But baseball is the news of the day today. And we had a couple of big performances last night, not the least of which was Charlie Morton, who I own on my fantasy team with George Kurtz, another host here on the network that you hear on the weekends. And Charlie Morton is on fire right now. I owned him the last couple of seasons. I had him last year. The frustration with Charlie Morton is that he would not go deep into games oftentimes, and you would be stuck without a decision, even though the numbers were tracking very well. This year, the guy is, I mean, right now, absolute Cy Young candidate. You can make an argument that he's in the lead, although Max Scherzer would probably have an argument for that, as others might as well, including some of his teammates. So Charlie Morton moves to 6-0 last night. He goes 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 1 earned run, drops his ERA to 1.94. He did that in how many pitches? 97 pitches through the 7 innings. Giles with the save there. So, but the interesting part is that the Astros, I believe I read this earlier today, this is their 13th game in which they've allowed their opponents one run or zero runs, Kev.
It's wild, and I hate for this to be the reaction to it, but because the Charlie Morton stuff is somewhat out of nowhere, right? Like Dallas Keuchel, I'm pretty sure won a Cy Young 1 year. Verlander has that pedigree. Garrett Cole, even though I think we kind of saw him fall off, like he was someone who was certainly viewed as an ace. But every time I see Charlie Morton go out there and absolutely dominate, I cannot help but think about the cheating accusations that, and I mean, they were laid out, and nobody seemed to really follow up with them, so that perhaps they were baseless. And, I mean, it just so happens that this come up against the Indians, where Trevor Bauer, who's on the Indians, was really the person who had made that call out. But I cannot help it. Every time Charlie Morton goes out there and does something like this, which has pretty much been almost every single one of his starts, it's just the first thing that pops into my head.
I get that. Trevor Bauer basically accusing them of doctoring the ball, correct? That's what you're referencing?
Yeah. I mean, the start before this, he had a 14 strikeout game. Like, that's just not what we knew of Charlie Morton to do.
Yeah. You know, he has the kind of stuff where he does get people to swing and miss, but certainly Gerrit Cole, his numbers have spiked up dramatically since joining the Astros. I think that's what led people to believe, like, hey, maybe something's up here. You know, like, what's going on? So I'm just looking at some of the other numbers right now. American League, I said Max Scherzer. I'm sorry, I got it mixed up. I that's a total fudge on my part. But Verlander is currently leading the American League with a 1.05 ERA. His teammate Gerrit Cole is second with 1.75 ERA, and then Charlie Morton is third with a 1.94. So they are first, second, and third. Luis Severino in fourth for the Yanks with Sale, Kluber, Manea, Trevor Bauer, Bartolo Colon. How about that? He's a top 10 ERA guy in the American League with a 2.82 right now, and Mike Clevenger as well. So Indians struggling, but two of those pitchers right at the top. But, yeah, I mean, that says a lot when the top three pitchers in that staff right now are 1-2-3 in ERA. McCullers not far behind. He's a top 25, and Keuchel in the top 15. So check that out. I mean, they're top five. Their rotation are all in the top 22 in the American League in ERA. So it's a good run right now. The team is, this is their second best start in team history. I believe they're 29-17 right now. Last year's team was the only team in the history of the Astros that was better. They were 31. They had 31 wins at this mark last year. So I understand what you're saying. I can't go down that route yet until there's certain sort of overwhelming evidence. Say that the Astros are currently 29-17. Last year at this time, they were 31-16 or something like that. I can't remember if they're going by date or number of games played. So it might have been 31-15 at this time last year. But in any event, big start for Charlie Morton.
I will say, though, more to your first point of just kind of the dominance, if I'm doing the math correctly, the gap between the Astros, who have given up the fewest runs so far to this point in the season, between the Astros and then the second team, which is the Nationals, is the same as the gap between the Nationals and the 15th team in runs allowed, which is the Angels. So that's the gap that they're separating between them and just the next best staff currently, top to bottom right now. So, you know, whether foul play or not, that's not really the point. And I think you're right, because until we know more, you don't really need to harp on it. But I don't know if you can make any type of case against any other team in baseball that has a better staff going right now. I mean, you have three legit Cy Young candidates at the moment.
Definitely. I mean, absolutely. It would be those three, and Luis Severino would probably be that would be your discussion. The three Astros players and Luis Severino, Corey Kluber, obviously, would throw his hat in the ring as well. So, and look, there's a long way to go, so I'm not even going to get into the awards. But, yeah, if you're ranking the top five, all three of those guys are in it. So, that's it for the Stros. Let me see other stats from that game. Give them to you. George Springer, 2-for-3, couple of RBIs and runs scored. Gurriel, 2-for-4. They won the game 4-1. The loss goes to Clevenger, who actually threw 6 1/3, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 8 hits. So he spread him around a little bit, but he takes his first loss of the season, dropping him to 3-1. Not much to speak about on the offensive side of the ball, obviously, for the Indians, although Encarnacion goes 2-for-4 and gets another homer, his 10th of the year. Moving over to a game, I don't want to get to my favorite moment of the week after I recap this game, but Orioles-Red Sox. Mookie Betts, man, just It's just he's an unstoppable rebel force right now. He's 3 for 5 last night, runs scored, a couple of RBIs. He had two doubles, a homer last night. His average is now at 371 with an OPS of 1.204. So Mookie Betts, I'd say, front runner for MVP conversation. The one guy that's going to try and track him down, who may not be on the Orioles for the remainder of the year, is Manny Machado. 3 for 5, a couple of more RBIs for Machado. He moves to 347, his OPS over 1,000. So clearly those guys are raking right now. Who else hits yesterday? Eduardo Nunez, 2 for 4 with a ribby. Betts with the two RBIs, like I said, he's just, look, Mookie Betts is the MVP right now in the American League. It's as good a start as you could hope for from him when people, who else would you put up there?
Trout. So I just...
Yeah, so that's the funny thing. I was going to get into that. I should have positioned it differently. Right now, and I'm just going on the way people vote. You know, Sox are the best record in the league right there. I guess they moved ahead. Nah, are they tied with the Yanks right now? I can't remember. The Yanks both and I'll Sox both dropped a game yesterday. Well, the Yankees missed a couple of games. By percentage points, the Yankees are in front. But 28-13 versus 30-15, because the Yankees have had all these postponements and delays and stuff, they've moved in front by percentage points. But it's effectively the same record with the Astros, obviously, right in the mix there. So, yeah, I was going to get to the Mike Trout thing. So let me just recap this game, and I'll move over to the Mike Trout thing. So Machado goes 3 for 5, 2 RBIs yesterday. I'm looking at hitting stats right now. Mookie Betts leading the American League in batting average and homers, and he is down the list in RBIs. But in any event,
well, I have a question for you on that.
By the way, Manny Machado is leading the league. He's tied with Mookie Betts for 14 homers to lead the league. He has the most RBIs at 42, and his batting average is second only to Mookie Betts. So those two are in the conversation along with Mike Trout. Let me just, again, finish up this game. The pitching performances, 7-4 win for the Orioles. Alex Cobb gets his first win of the year despite giving up 10 hits and a walk in 6 1/3 innings. He only gives up the 3 runs. Drew Pomeranz, 4 innings, 7 hits, 3 walks, 4 earned runs. His ERA balloons to 6. So that is it on that game.
I have a quick question for you on Mookie Betts before that.
Brad Brock with the save there, by the way.
I was quickly just looking through the counting stats, right? And so you see leads the league in batting average and home runs. And then you kind of have to go down a little bit further than you would think to see in RBIs he's only at 30. And that comes with him batting leadoff. At any point, would you consider a switch? Like, obviously, there's a comfort level there.
Not now.
But if he's gonna, it's, and I agree with you, right? Because you don't want to mess things up. But if the guy's gonna lead the league in home runs, having him bat leadoff is a little bit of a waste.
I don't think so entirely. I mean, JD Martinez is hitting 345. It's not like the middle of the order is struggling. Benintendi gets on base at a 350 clip. Mitch Moreland is lights out right now, 319 on the year he is, 319 over a 400 on base. So it's not like somebody is struggling badly. Bogart's hitting 308, even though his on-base percentage isn't much higher. So, look, the lineup is getting it done. Betts is a guy that they want in leadoff position. He's producing in every way imaginable except RBIs, and we all know that stat. I mean, anybody that's plays fantasy baseball and is a Sabre guy realizes that stat is really just based on where you hit in the order, right? He obviously could have more RBIs if he was lower, but he's getting on base. He's scoring runs. He leads the league in on base percentage, too. So I think he's doing everything you can ask of him, and there's no sense in messing with it. So there you go.
The only thing I'll say is he, at the moment, has 12 solo shots. 12 of his 14 are solo shots. 6 of them have led off an inning. I agree with you because things are going this well. I like the idea of messing with it feels silly, but I just wonder if at any point they would maybe just contemplate, because you do want to, you know, make the most of what Mookie Betts is giving you.
And I think if things went south in the lineup behind him, maybe they'd do something to spark the middle of the lineup. Mm. But those guys are hitting well right now. I mean, J.D. Martinez, what else do you want? He's right. A new addition. He's hitting .345 with 13 homers. I think I mentioned on the show last week what a psycho he is about video.
Yeah, you did.
He videotapes every swing, and he's obviously whatever he's doing is he's doing it right now, and I think he's going to love that ballpark. So, as most hitters do. But in any event, that's it for that. To transition it over to, before we get to some other games, to transition it over to the Mike Trout thing. Mike Trout was, I don't know what happened with him last night. I was watching his first at bat. I'm just watching a highlight right now. Did he get a hit last night? I have to check it out because he was embroiled in the worst slump of his career. 0-for-19 going into the game. He walked in his first at bat. And I'm seeing another highlight right now. Yeah. So, of course, he hit a home run. Mike Trout hit a home run last night to break his – I mean, of course. I'm literally doing this on the fly as the show. And there's a Mike – that's the most fortuitous highlight I've ever seen in my years of doing broadcasting. I look over, and Mike Trout broke his hitless streak with a homer last night. So – Mike Trout is on pace right now. It's early, but he is on pace, obviously, to have the highest WAR in the history of Major League Baseball for a single season, breaking Babe Ruth's record of 14.1. He currently sits at 14.2. The Angels are at 25-20, so they've obviously been competing, and it would have been a lot different, maybe. I mean, look, they're not going to outlast the Astros. It's unlikely. They're actually behind Seattle by a half game right now, but Seattle just lost their biggest run producer in Robbie Cano for half a season. So, look, Mike Trout, it's almost like the LeBron James thing that you put me in front of last week as we get played off by God Save the Queen. He's the best player in baseball. It doesn't matter whether he's the MVP or not. He's just the best. And I think people need to enjoy it. And I don't think he's appreciated enough because he doesn't have a big personality and he plays on the West Coast. So we'll talk a little bit more about Mike Trout. We're going to talk a little bit about Mark Teixeira's comments from this week.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back in Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike Bluth and Kevin Walsh. You can find us today if you want to reach out to us. You want to talk about the royal wedding? I guess I can do that, but I got no details for you. I just know they're married. So just want to talk about fantasy baseball or football or hoops. I'm your guy.
I will say it's nice
to
see.
That by calling.
Oh, do your thing.
Let me just finish the thing.
Do your thing.
Thanks. 844-843-6879-84-FNTSY. It's his first day on radio, folks. You can tweet at us at FNTSY Radio, at Mike Bluth, or at the Kevin Walsh. And wherever you're listening to us, we appreciate it. At Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, that's free to download, free to listen. Or if it's on TuneIn from via TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio, thank you. Terrestrial radio stations across the country, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Hope you're having some fun, having tea and crumpets, and listen to us talk about Mark Teixeira, which we're going to do right now. So Mark Teixeira's comments about Robinson Cano this week, that he wasn't surprised. He's friends with A-Rod, best friends with Melky, both players of whom got popped under the biogenesis, well, Melky straight up failed the test. Alex threw, pick a number, right? He admitted it. Then there's the biogenesis thing. He effectively got caught multiple times, even though he never failed. The irony of A-Rod is that he never failed a Major League Baseball administered drug test, but named a variety of times, admitted it, apologized, then got nailed again with the biogenesis thing. We don't need to go into all that. But the presumption was that from Tex was that, hey, he's friends with those guys. I wish I could say I'm surprised, but I'm just not. That's sort of the gist of it, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm from a place, and Kevin, you're from the same place, basically, where, you know, when something like this occurs, you just kind of keep to yourself. And maybe that's not a good thing. You know, and he's a broadcaster, and I'm a broadcaster. And, you know, maybe this plays into it too, where he says, look, I'm not surprised. Love Robbie, but I'm just not surprised. I'm from a place where something like that happens, you just kind of don't address it, right? You go on about your business. It's seen as none of your business, and maybe that's not a good thing where I'm from, but it's none of your business. You didn't have anything to do with it. You don't need to pile on. Unless you don't really like the guy, then you're probably going to twist the knife, but that doesn't really seem to be the case. So people are saying, why say anything? Just keep your mouth shut. I'm going to propose to you a hypothetical, Kevin Walsh. What if you're Mark Teixeira and you played a really long career in Major League Baseball, 14 seasons, you gutted it out through injuries, especially those last few years. You're just sucking it up with surgeries and trying to come back, and you made $213 million. But it was all on the level. Never a day with an injection or anything else. And you're probably not getting to the Hall of Fame. Three-time All-Star, won a World Series, five-time Gold Glove, a really good player. Career didn't, once the Yankees got him, after that monster year in L.A., the offensive numbers just didn't quite sustain like people hoped they would. He had a couple of good careers, and the Yankees don't win the 2009 World Series without him. But he was, in fact, second in the MVP voting in 2009, for those that don't remember. He had 39 homers, 122 RBIs. Anyway, the greater point that I'm making is, what if you did it all on the level, and you're a little tired of this, and you made all your money and you're good, so you're not complaining about that, but guys are making $240 million, and he's on the juice the whole time. And Melky Cabrera, we saw him get suspended, and you know what happened once Melky was off suspension? He got another contract and another contract and another one. And guys are tearing past you into the Hall of Fame, putting up numbers, and they're not on the level, and you are. So you're like, you know what? I'm not defending anybody. And if somebody asks me, I'm talking. That's it. I'm not going to stamp out articles and sell everybody out. But if I get asked, I'm not turning a blind eye to it. What about that? How about that for a premise?
So I couldn't agree more in terms of pretty much what you're laying out there. For Mark to basically be like, I'm not surprised. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I love the guy, but this isn't shocking. It comes off like sour grapes, and maybe he has a point, right? Because we look at what happened with Teixeira, right? I don't think necessarily when he retired, he was wanting to retire. Like, you could kind of tell he was really, really bummed about it. And I do typically think that when athletes retire and then go into some form of broadcasting, it's a good sign that they truly do love their sport. They love being around their sport. It's kind of all they know. And Teixeira fits that billing. He retired after 14 years, right? And you kind of mentioned it was a tough way, I think, for him to go out, just because it had to do with the injuries, where he wasn't there not only every day, and even when he was just never 100%, right? Like, he didn't get play over, 130 games since the 2011 season. And then Cano's on the other side of this, who's in year 14. He's coming off making an All-Star game. Now, I don't know how it's going to go, but maybe could have made another All-Star game in year 14. And honestly,
As a quick aside to what you're saying about his longevity, Robbie Cano would frustrate Yankees fans and I'm sure Mariners fans in some ways because he doesn't hustle on every play. He doesn't run out grounders often, but he was remarkably consistent in the number of games he played, over 150 games every year since 2005. So when people thought that Robbie Cano wasn't giving a lot of effort, I would always point to he's playing 160 games every year. Mm-hmm. It's okay if he wants to manage the hustle, in my mind, because he knows how he can get through the season, right?
Yeah.
Now, in a playoff game, it happened in a playoff game. It's a little frustrating, but it's just how he is. He plays with a certain flair, a certain way that makes him look lackadaisical because he's so talented. But I never thought he was what's the word I'm looking for? I never thought he was mailing it in. So anyway, go ahead.
I know, but I really think that, and I believe that he does love Robbie and A-Rod and Melky and all of those guys. I think that what it comes down to is it, and I think, again, you were spot on there. It's resentment. It's this feeling of, if I did what they did, I could have still been the first baseman for the New York Yankees right now, right? Because, and one of the things you mentioned there isn't something that I actually had even thought about to this point, is the fact that he's probably not going to make the Hall of Fame, right? Like, when this Cano news broke,
he's not a Hall of Famer.
One of the things that, you know, crossed my mind is like, oh, none of this really, the rest of this doesn't matter, right? Like, now he can't get into the Hall of Fame, like, if he was ever going to even be in that discussion. So, it's kind of one of those things, right? Like, if you take steroids, the worst thing that happens is you're suspended for 80 games, at least the first time, right? You're suspended for the 80 games, can't play in the postseason, and it really, really diminishes your opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame. But and this is a conversation that I think has been had for a number of years, right? Just kind of the give and take, like, at the end of the day, is maybe taking the steroids worth it for some of these athletes? Like, if you're a guy who needs to be able to stay around in this league for a little bit, It becomes kind of case in point where, again, if Teixeira ended up, say, you know, after the 2013, right, he only played the 15 games, had a massive injury. If at that point said, all right, I'm coming back better than ever, I'm just going to do what I got to do to make sure that I'm on the field. All of a sudden, it's, if he gets away with it, he gets away with it. If not, but it's perhaps a way to prolong a career. It's perhaps a way to give you even a chance at a career. It's one of those things where, for when a lot of the steroid stuff started to really, really come out, I was like, man, I guess they're really going to be able to get rid of this. And it's just, steroids and baseball are just never going to be apart.
No, I agree with that completely. And more often than not, obviously it provides tons of power. And, you know, when we saw that steroid era at the height of its powers, clearly guys were bulking up and just mashing homers, and you know, we saw a massive spike in power and guys getting big contracts, and, you know, it all paid for itself, basically. But even then, when we started to realize the number of pitchers that were using it, I think it's obvious that it's more for recovery purposes than anything else. And maybe that it gives you some insight as to why Robbie Cano was able to stay on the field for over 150 games for 15 years. You know, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. Like, oh, I just tried it this one time. His story that he put out there is entirely plausible about him trying to, what was it? I lost my train of thought, but he said that it was something that he took in conjunction with something else. Mm-hmm. He didn't know exactly what it was. His story was plausible, but it's just a story. I'm sorry. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. People are going to think that he's taken it for his whole career. Obviously, we don't know that for a fact, but it doesn't really matter anymore. Hall of Fame probably goes poof. Although I do think at some point, those frozen waters will thaw and players will start to get in. And I think Robbie will probably benefit from that long term. Like, if you had to ask me right now, will Robbie Cano be a Hall of Famer one day? I would say probably. Because I think the younger generation of writers voting will be a little bit more open to that. Now, this is a little bit different where, I mean, he got caught and is suspended. It isn't nebulous. It isn't some Mike Piazza story. Or it seemed obvious that Jeff Bagwell was doing it. I mean, he got caught. So I actually personally, if I were Cooperstown, I would put a bright line test on it and say, if you get caught, then you're out. You can't get in. So maybe it's poof for Robbie because of that. If I were a writer, in fact, I would use that as a benchmark. Like, look, you use it if you want, but if you get caught, you're not getting into the Hall of Fame, right? That's one way to do it. And I think you should be kind of ineligible for accolades and awards for that for the rest of your career too. But that's gets into contractual and Major League Baseball Players Association stuff, and that's a 7-hour show, so I don't want to do that. So anyway,
I have that's one so that's more the deal with Cano thing. Because yes. This was the first time that I really remember getting that notification, you know, player XY has tested positive for steroids, and actually being kind of upset on a personal level. Like, typically, right, like we see this happen, it's like, man, what a bozo, or perhaps fantasy implications. But I was personally a massive Robinson Cano fan while he was on the Yankees. And I was really upset when he left for the Mariners, and I was more so upset with the Yankees. I actually went and I saw him that year, his first year on the Mariners, play at Yankee Stadium, hit a pair of home runs, I gave him a standing ovation both times, and shouted, "You should have paid the man." That's just how I felt about it. So it was kind of the first time that I read that notification and was just, I was just bummed. And I didn't really know, I don't know, it took me back a little bit. Just the thought of having now to really, I guess, view, a favorite player through somewhat of a different point of view. And I was just curious if at any point, throughout all of these steroid things, or even in the specific Robinson Cano case, like if that's something that you've felt, because it was kind of just the first time, like, you know, Ryan Braun is what it is.
To answer your question, completely emotionless and unsurprised by anybody that gets hit. I think at the end of the day, for just about all of these guys, and I'm not casting aspersions on the Dominican Republic or any Caribbean nations, these guys come from pure poverty. So if you're going to tell them, hey, look, if you take this, it's going to give you an opportunity to get to or stay in the major leagues, they do it in a heartbeat. Frankly, so would most Americans and people from affluent backgrounds. He got paid $240 million on one contract, and he's getting every dime of it, even after getting caught. And he got plenty of millions before that. He's going to crest $300 million in his playing career. So I'm not surprised by it. I'm not... No, I don't want them doing it, but no, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and judge them. If I were given, I've never been given a choice like that. So how could I say I wouldn't do it? I like to think I'm above board. I don't like to cheat or steal or do any of that kind of stuff. But if somebody, you know, if I was in that position and wrapped up in it, who knows? Like, who knows if you could attain your dream to take something like that? It's, you know, it's take the blue pill, take the red pill, the whole Matrix thing. Like, you know, you can kind of open your eyes to an entirely new life. So, and by the way, and I will never do this to players. I'm just saying, I'm not guaranteeing that Mark Teixeira or others that may be judging Robbie Cano are innocent as well. I'm not guaranteeing that. Mm-hmm. I also don't like to do the, well, he sort of looks like it. I could tell you, I shouldn't even say this on air, I could tell you that I thought for years, like, well, when is Jeff Bagwell stuff going to come out? And it just never did. Mm. I thought Jeff Bagwell sort of fit the profile, but it never did. So he's in the Hall of Fame. Case closed. Like, if nobody if there was no evidence, then it's who am I to judge to say that it kind of looks like he did it? Maybe he just hit the gym hard for 7 days a week. I don't know. I didn't see him do it. Nobody had any evidence on him. And it is what it is. By the way, so many guys were using. Why would I pick one guy apart from another? Mm. I remember back when they wrote that book on Barry Bonds, the huge investigative journalist book, which sort of laid out all of his connections to Balco and everything else. And I remember guys saying, like, he should be kicked out of the league. He should be banned from the Hall of Fame. And I said, well, if you're going to do that to him and he hasn't officially failed a test, then you got to do it to all these other guys. So that's kind of where I'm at on the whole thing. I didn't expect to do an entire segment on this, but it led to some good discussion. And I can kind of appreciate where you're at because you're a little bit younger than me. A lot younger than me. So Robbie Cano is kind of wrapped up even into your childhood of rooting for the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2009, you were a young teenager. So that was a big deal for you to win. I was much older, and you know, I'd already frankly been through the whole steroid thing, and that 2009 team, as much as I was happy that the Yankees won, it was a little bit of an odd team because they went out and they bought Mark Teixeira and they bought CC, and they put together the best team that money can buy. But you know, that's part of the game. I don't criticize the Yankees for that. It wasn't as emotional a connection as when the 96 team won, for example. And, you know, people think Yankees fans are spoiled, and they should think that, but the Yankees won a World Series in 1978 when I was 5 years old. They did not win again for 18 years until I was out of college. So my entire grade school, my entire high school, and entire college – I was this proud Yankees fan, and they never won anything. I would talk about how they won in the 70s and the 50s, but the people are like, who cares? You weren't even a zygote then. So when they won in 96, it was a huge relief for me. I actually had a similar experience as being a Steelers fan. They won when I was a kid and not again until I was over 30 years old. So that's the deal. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more baseball. Kevin and I on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back to talk baseball.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today, Mike Blute and Kevin Walsh. It's like the cheating episode of Fantasy Sports Today. You're talking about the Astros cheating. I'm talking about Robbie Cano cheating. We'll get to more scores
on a wedding day.
You've heard about the Daily Roto doc. What are you doing, dude? What are you doing? Just pipe down until I'm done with the read.
You know, Mike, you come in with all the cheating comments. I'll throw a little something.
All right,
you just hit the read.
I'll get it to you. I'll pass you the mic as soon as I can. You've heard about the DailyRoto.com dollar month here on the network, but I wanted to put it in context for you. Let's say you buy a lottery ticket. You pay your dollar, you pick a bunch of numbers, and that's it. You then clutch your ticket and hope. Now let's say that you try DailyRoto.com dollar month. You pay your dollar, get access for 30 days, and you're transported into a world that has produced 5 millionaires. Take destiny into your own hands and go to DailyRoto.com. Enter the code $1. That's dailyroto.com and enter the code $1. O-N-E dollar. So you were saying about the cheating.
We're talking about all this cheating on the day of the royal wedding. I just don't know if that's a bad sign or not.
Yeah, it might not be great. But so a little bit more baseball news. By the way, you're not into this. You're a 24-year-old man, 25 years old. How old are you?
23.
23. So, yeah, I gave you added a year or two on you. But you don't care about the royal stuff, do you?
No, not particularly. I will say the thing that I've found fascinating throughout what I've seen of the coverage is it does seem like the fact that they now added an American to the mix, and it's completely mucked the whole thing up, which seems appropriate. And in the weirdest way possible, I'm slightly proud. Well, I don't know how much you follow, but my occupation outside of this place requires me to keep up to date with the news or whatever it may be. And there's a ton of controversy with the family. I think she's the first American to actually become, a duchess and all of that stuff. The fact that she's of mixed race, just a number of things that are very
ordinary. I think that's cool.
No, 100%.
I think that's cool.
100%. I'm all in on it.
But I'm also American. So
well, no, exactly. Like the fact that the father hired a photo man to kind of do a photo op as to why he couldn't make it for health concerns, and it just seems like it's a a bit of a wild situation where I'm sure that they're very used to things going just completely according to plan. Where, you know, I mean, that's just
She's an American biracial actress. So there's like three different storylines there. Like, great, we have a celebrity. Great, it's an American. And then obviously, you know, there's some racists out there, so they're going to stoke the fires on her being biracial. It doesn't matter to me, obviously, but there's a few different storylines to go there. Whether they're real or not, people can just jump on it and write all they want about it. But I'm sure she's a first in many ways for the Royals.
Yeah.
But good for Harry. Good for her.
He looks like Carson Wentz.
Hope to live a long, happy life again. Or Carson Wentz looks like him. How about that? I mean, he's the Duke, and he's older, so Wentz looks like him. I really don't see the resemblance other than they both have red hair.
Yeah, it's a cheap resemblance.
Typically what people do with redheads. Like, hey, you look like another famous redhead that I know. Like, people just do that. You know, like, hey, you look like – I didn't tell you a story. I posted it on – this is a total departure from the sports world. So
no worries.
I got to give this to you. Maybe people will find this interesting. I posted it on my Facebook page, and people were somewhat horrified and somewhat thought it was funny. The intent was for it to be funny. So I have a five-year-old son. I take him to swim class on Friday afternoons, go to this same place. But a few weeks back, it was the first time I'd ever been there. There's a woman who her son is taking a lesson at the same time my son is. So she sits down. Just looks a little off, if I'm being honest. Like, you know, when you get that person talking to you, that random person, you're like, I don't know what's up with this person. But anyway, she's there for the same reason I am. She's making nice conversation. So I'm like, okay. Her eyes are like at half mast, and I'm thinking she might be on meds or something like that. But in any event, she is asking me, like, she's like, you look familiar. Do I know you? And I'm like, it's my first time here. We just started going here, so
no.
I don't know. I live a couple of towns over. I grew up over here. I went to high school here. She's like, no. That was over the course of like a minute. I gave her that rapid fire question. So I'm like, okay, well, you know, she goes to her husband. She's like, doesn't he look familiar? And he's now looking at me, and I'm like, all right, I don't know you guys. And she snaps her fingers. She goes, I got it. I know it. You look like a young Robert Redford. Right. That's the appropriate reaction. That's the appropriate reaction. Laughter. I do not. And I was, and I put on Facebook, I gave it a Michael Jordan fist pump because I was excited. Because I got compared to a young Robert Redford. First of all, I'm not young anymore. Not old, but I'm not young anymore. And I never for a day looked like Robert Redford on his best day, on his worst day. I wish I looked like Robert Redford looked now. But anyway, I don't. And I thought it was hilarious. So I just kind of smiled and said thanks and went on to watching the swim lesson. But yeah. That's the kind of people you encounter at the community center for swim lessons. She's insane, and I don't look like Robert Redford, young, old, middle-aged, whatever. So, yeah, that happened to me a couple weeks back. So
I just came up with an idea for a movie.
Go ahead.
Why didn't they ever do a Wedding Crashers 2, Royal Wedding Edition?
They could. I'm sure it'd be funny. But the greater point of my Robert Redford story is what I said about the redheads.
Yeah.
Like,
what if she
would have
said, you're Mike Blewett from the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I knew it.
Nothing could have stunned me more that woman would have known who I was. That'd be more surprising than the Robert Redford comment, actually.
Thing.
The fact she was a fantasy sports fan in any way. So tough to make a transition back to baseball, but I'll try to do it. Jacob DeGrom with a fascinating start yesterday because he comes off the DL with the hyperextended right elbow. Then he has the 45-pitch, one-inning outing, which he had to leave because, well, A, he threw 45 pitches in the first inning, and B, there was a rain delay. So last night, he ties his career in strikeouts, 13 strikeouts, 3-1 win over the D-backs at Citi Field. He allows one run in seven innings in his first unabbreviated start of the month. So how about that for Jake DeGrom?
It's awesome. It reminded me of something, though, because we're here in New York, so I'm sure you saw the back of, I think it was the Daily News, with both DeGrom and Syndergaard in pinstripes for the Yankees, talking about, although neither team would be, or the Mets might not be happy about it, but the trade partner that makes the most sense for them is the New York Yankees, if it's time to move on from one, if not both, of their aces. And, I mean, anybody who knows kind of the dynamic between the Mets and the Yankees knows that this would never happen in a zillion years.
Nope.
But
it can't happen.
I just, because it was on the back page, I somewhat just had to entertain it. And I couldn't even necessarily come up with, like, a basis where, because sometimes with the Yankees and the Mets, you can come up with deals that make sense, but you know, like, they'll still never do it. Like, I thought last year there could have been a trade for Lucas Duda that would have made sense for both sides, but they're just never going to do it. But it even came to the point.
Yeah, like, that was an example of, like, well, they're just never going to trade the Yankees. That was the example. I think the last time it happened, there's got to be something more recent, but, like, there was a trade in the 80s that was very low level, and they just don't want to do business with one another. It's really the Mets being scared of, like, something working out for the Yankees and making it, and probably the other way, too.
Right.
But the Yankees have enough currency that they could get over if they lost a trade to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets would not be able to get over losing a trade to the Yankees. And they certainly, when they blow up this team, if they do, they're not going to do it by helping out the Yankees, even though it could make sense. Anyway, DeGrom moves to 4-0. His ERA is 1.75, 13 more strikeouts yesterday. So here's the irony of the Mets. Jarvis Familia with his 12th save, by the way. I own Jarvis Familia as well. Zach Godley took the loss. He drops to 4-3 on the year. He gave up 4 walks, 4 hits, and 6 innings with 6 strikeouts. Michael Conforto had his first ever 3-hit game last night, and it was a 4-hit game. So he has 4 hits last night. I said it that way because the announcers were prefacing him maybe having a 3-hit game or his first of the year. He ends up going 4-for-4 with a couple of RBIs. So big game there. Wilmer Flores with a RBI double last night as well. So the irony of the Mets is that all the talk here in New York is that they need to blow this thing up. And look at this team. It stinks. They're 21-19. They get off to the 11-1 start.
Yeah.
They've obviously fallen off since. But people just don't have any faith that this team can turn it around. That all they have is Syndergaard and DeGrom, and Familia's fine, but
and they like Conforto a lot,
closer, and they love Conforto.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gotten off to a rough start. Hopefully, last night is a nice spark, getting 4 hits, and he can turn it around potentially. But realistically, I don't think they have the horses for this season-long playoff race, but people are throwing dirt on the Mets here simply because they don't like the way it looks, not because they are like the Orioles are. And the Orioles, for example, I know they got the W yesterday, but the Orioles are 14-30. They addressed none of their pitching woes during the offseason, and it is brutal. Their pitching stinks. And my favorite Major League Baseball moment of the year, and I'm going to call out somebody, I never do this, and I'm going to have you give him a follow on Twitter. It's at Pitching Ninja. He does daily gifts of different pitchers and how nasty their stuff is. It's a very cool follow because he has these cool gifts that he shows of this guy's cutter or how he made this guy look foolish. Yeah, it's at Pitching Ninja. Rob Friedman is the guy's name. And they're my favorite Major League Baseball clip of the season. Kevin Gausman pitching a couple of nights ago against Boston. I believe it was a couple of nights ago. Xander Bogaerts hits a home run off Gausman. And Buck Showalter makes it to the mound before Bogaerts hits home plate. He literally crosses in front of Bogaerts' path, crosses the third baseline before Bogaerts gets to him. and he is reaching for the ball from Gausman as Bogaerts is doing a sign of the cross and like pointing up to the heavens before he even touches home plate. Just an amazing show up of the pitcher and an indicative of how Buck was just done with Gausman at the time. I can't remember ever seeing that, but man, he showed him up big time, and it was brutal to watch. But I assure you, if you watch it, you will laugh, just because that is quintessential Buck Showalter. Doesn't really care. Hardened, old school guy. Doesn't care what you think of him. Unfortunately, he's going to get dumped here soon. The team's way worse than people thought. They didn't think, nobody thought this team was good or going to be a playoff team, but they're 14-30. They're battling for one of the worst teams in the league.
I mean, I don't even think Buck's going to be upset if they fire him. Like, I bet part of the reason he does, you know, a move like that is not necessarily the specific pitcher who was on the mound, but more so probably just so people would take recognition of it, and probably the people upstairs were like, this is what you're going to give me? Whatever. Get out, you're terrible, next guy. It's just, knowing, I mean, not that I necessarily know Buck Showalter personally, but just from what I know of Buck, I can't imagine that he'd even want to be here at the, even when it's time to move on from Machado, I'm sure he'd be like, hey, can you send me with him, because I have no desire to be here.
I get it. So, this is an amazing stat. First of all, their team ERA is third worst in the American League, but the batting average against, holy cow, 282. Woo. Their opponents are hitting against the Orioles. That is something else. Let me see where that ranks in Major League Baseball. It's got to be last. Oh, it is. It's last. That's the worst batting average against in the entire league. They have the second to worst whip, with a 1.5 ERA, down towards the bottom as well, third to last. So they're not getting it done, safe to say. So that's it. It was my favorite clip of the whole year, of all the amazing clips and home runs and defensive web gems, all that kind of stuff. That was something. It was something to behold. And I think, as you said, Buck is done. The only teams with worse winning percentage are the White Sox and the Royals, who beat the Yankees last night. So the Royals and the O's are at 14-30. The White Sox are at 11-30. But we already knew that the White Sox were blowing it up, right? This is from the ground up that the White Sox are building. The Orioles did not. That was not their plan going into the year. But I think it's very obvious that they didn't really plan ahead for the 2018 season. So that's the deal. I'll give you one more score update. Cubs beat the Reds 8-1. Cubs put up some offensive numbers. Chris Bryant, 2-for-6, his average 303 right now. Anthony Rizzo, 2-for-6, 2 runs scored, 2 ribbies. Contreras, 3-for-6. Addison Russell, 4-for-4. A lot of Manny Machado to Cubs talk, and you just wonder what players would go back in the other direction. The problem is the Cubs have depleted a lot of their farm system with other moves in the last couple of years. I just wonder if they're the team that can get it done. Oh, I'll ask you a question before the break, because I've heard some people asking this, and I think we've talked about it here. Who gets paid more at the end of the season, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper?
Contract? I think it ends up being Bryce because he's the bigger star, but I'm not necessarily sure that that's the correct decision just because of the positional value of Machado. But I ultimately would still anticipate, for better or for worse, it's Bryce who would get the bigger paycheck.
By the way, Machado, I know he's played a lot of third base, but now he's playing short. He's a legit shortstop. He's really good. He can play both, obviously, so you fit him in wherever, but he could play short in Chicago with Bryant at third, and they're not going to lose much defensively. So he's an extremely talented player. I'd be on the Machado bandwagon over Harper. As much as I like them both, I would be on the Machado bandwagon over Harper. And we could just debate that each and every week. So
you think that's more Yankee-centered, though?
There you
though?
Go.
Because for the Yankees, yes, but I don't.
No, I think like there'll be a few teams bidding on both of those guys, and I think Machado could win out.
We'll
so
see.
That's it. We're going to talk some football in hour number 2, basketball in hour number 3. It's Mike and Kevin on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back with our hour number 2 after this.